We've entered into the Christmas season. It's a special time of the year. And I want us to be able to go into this season as a joyous and free people. But there is a thing that can rob us of our joy and freedom. It's a thing called unforgiveness. And this is an issue we can all relate to one degree or another. Unforgiveness produces bitter fruit and carries a darkness with it that takes up valuable space in our heart and mind, space that would much better be used for good and godly purposes. As I've gotten older as a believer, I've noticed that what older Christians are tempted by is often very different from what tempts young Christians. The devil most often uses youthful passions to lead astray young Christians, whereas he uses different, less obvious temptations to lead older believers astray, to damage our relationship with God and limit our fruitfulness in the cause of Christ. Among the greatest of these temptations he uses on us, older folks, is unforgiveness, bitterness, and grudge-keeping. Just how serious is unforgiveness? Well, it's always best to get Jesus' view on such matters. Peter was having a problem along these lines, and he brought the matter to Jesus. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Now let's pause there. Peter had obviously been wronged by someone. We don't know by who or why or how, but it wasn't a one-time offense. He'd apparently been offended by this person more than once, and Peter had forgiven him, only to have that person do it again. So Peter has had enough. He probably thought he was being generous to offer forgiveness up to seven times. Makes sense. The number seven was symbolic of completion. So isn't seven times a very generous place to draw the line? And he comes to Jesus looking for affirmation that there should be a limit to the forgiveness and mercy he shows towards people. But Peter came to the wrong place for affirmation. Verse 22, Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." So right there, Jesus spells out a very important point about forgiveness. It must be without limit. Now, I have to say, as an aside here, if people are toxic or dangerous or abusive, we have to limit our exposure to them, perhaps be a long way away from them, but we have no right to limit our forgiveness towards them. But I'll say more about that a bit later. Then Jesus tells a powerful, even shocking parable. He says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him." In other words, he owed a fortune. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, that is, a very small amount. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." Well, all that is shocking enough, but what comes next is even more shocking. Verse 35, Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you." And remember, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to his own disciples. What does he say? This is how my heavenly Father will treat some of you? No. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. But wait, can this be? Sweet Jesus is warning his own disciples that they, each of them, will suffer harsh punishment for unforgiveness? Unless. There's an unless there. It's conditional. This unforgiving, unmerciful servant lost the mercy he was freely granted. Jesus uses this parable to warn us that God's great mercy towards us is conditional. But wait, that idea doesn't fit with my theology. We would like to think of God's mercy as unconditional. And in a sense it is, because we did nothing to earn or merit that mercy. But we see in this statement by Jesus that there is a condition for us to enjoy that mercy, unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. From the heart. There is such a thing as an outward show of forgiveness, a forgiveness in pretense, but the heart still holds a grudge. Does Jesus really mean if we nurse a grudge, our Heavenly Father will withhold mercy from us? Yes, there is no equivocation here. But perhaps Jesus is using hyperbolic language, as was a common teaching method of his days. Oh, he did that sometimes, exaggerate to make a point. Perhaps if we look to other things Jesus has said about the subject, we might find him softening his position. Mark 11:25. Jesus had just made a statement about faith and prayer to his disciples. His disciples, mind you, not unbelievers, not Pharisees. And he said this, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone," anyone, not just other believers, anyone, "forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Well, that doesn't sound like he's softening his position on unforgiveness. If you hold anything against anyone, that's grudge keeping. And note, there is a "so that" there. That means there's a condition. Forgive so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Well, nobody knows the eternal Father like Jesus, the eternal Son. So if the Son says the Father won't forgive us if we hold a grudge, well, that should shake us up if we're holding one. But are we sure Jesus really means this? Well, let's take another look. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught on prayer and what we call the Lord's Prayer. Then Jesus said this, Matthew 6:14, "For if," there's an if there, so watch out, "if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, that's clear enough, but for emphasis, he says this, "but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Our Heavenly Father will not forgive our sins? Well, that's shocking. We might say, that doesn't fit with my theology. Well, then we better adjust our theology. Three times Jesus has said the same thing, and he did it with unmistakably clear language. But we may say, you can't expect me to forgive that person. You have no idea how they hurt me. Or perhaps grudge-keeping is legitimate when the wrong done to us rises to a certain level. Well, let's see if that argument holds up. Luke 23, and it says in verse 33, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Wicked men nailed Jesus to a cross to die a horrible death. I don't think we can be more wronged than that. Yet Jesus asked the Father to forgive them. And I believe he did that out loud for our sake as an example to show that no matter how great the offense, how great the hurt, unforgiveness is not justified. So that's what Jesus had to say. What about the apostles? Well, we hear nothing but echoes of Jesus' teaching. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And in Ephesians 4:30 it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Just as, it says. And James writes in chapter 2 of his epistle, in verse 12, "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Those are all very strong, unequivocal statements. And just what does our unforgiveness reveal about our own hearts? Well, first of all, it says we don't really trust God to produce justice in our behalf. Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." And verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." If we feel the need to be a score settler, we're mistrusting God, whose job that is. But there's something maybe more disturbing about unforgiveness. If we hold something against anyone, we've forgotten all that we ourselves have been forgiven of. What madness to receive such merciful, free grace and forgiveness from God, and yet refuse to give that grace to others. Plus, we have to forgive for our own benefit, for unforgiveness cuts short the grace that would come to us. It stops the flow of the Holy Spirit. Grudges turn the soul bitter. There's a dark energy to unforgiveness and grudge keeping. Unforgiveness brings sickness into the soul, and that sickness will bleed into other areas of our lives. Unforgiveness opens the door to let darkness in, and we can't shut that door without forgiving from the heart. Unforgiveness is a thief. It's a robber of joy and peace, sometimes even of health. Plus, we may pass on something dark to our own children and grandchildren. Think Hatfields and McCoys. Now, I mentioned that we may need to keep a safe distance from toxic, dangerous, or abusive people. Well, that's another trap, to think that we should let evil people have access to do us harm. Well, there's plenty of scriptures that warn us to stay away from ungodly people. And forgiveness is not necessarily a one-time thing. Just because we set a grudge down doesn't mean we won't pick it back up later on. So we have to forgive as many times as it takes to make it stick. When that grudge sneaks back into our heart and tries to make a nest there, we have to kick it out with all diligence and send it back to hell where it came from. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. If we wait to feel like forgiving, it will never happen. And forgiving must be possible, because God doesn't command us to do the impossible. At least, it's possible with His help. In conclusion, if we are truly thankful for the mercy shown to us, especially during this Christmas season, we will show mercy. If we are thankful for forgiveness, we will be the most forgiving people, even to the least deserving of our forgiveness. God will heal. That's His job. Our job is to forgive, whether we feel healed or not. And when we do, we show ourselves to truly be His disciples.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory tide. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my